This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We are going to start our episode, right? If I can figure out. Oh, here it is. Okay.
You got it.
I am wishing everyone.
I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful New Year celebration.
Yes.
And wishing you all
a beautiful year full of health, love, happiness, wealth, all that good stuff.
God.
Julie and I are going to cheers to that as well.
Hell yeah. Just and like we did last year.
Yes.
I think this is a good tradition because we had a great year.
We did. Thank you all so much for giving us the growth and just being a part of this podcast and just interacting with us. We love all of you. We love all the recommendations and we can't wait to do another year.
Woo!
Woo! Okay.
Pop it.
1, 2, 3.
Hey! Happy New Year!
I always close my eyes. I'm like, ah!
And I'm like,
okay. Cheers, cheers.
Cheers, cheers. So if you guys, you probably like read what the topic is, we thought it was suitable to start it with a recap, you know? And we actually missed the December, we actually missed the November recap. So, you know, this is going to be a blend of November and December.
Yeah.
To start the year right.
Exactly. Is this Patreon?
No.
Okay, so regular pod. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's like, we're going to need more for that year.
Yeah.
More. More. You know, when people say less is more, I'm more of a more is more.
Especially when it comes to champagne. Like, yeah. That's not, you know, we can't be stingy with that.
Yeah, no. We got a lot to cheers for this year.
Hell yes.
The
hell
fuller yes. The glass, the fuller the year.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Here,
I just cheers. Made that up. Cheers, everyone. Mm-hmm. Happy 2025.
Hell yeah. All right. So, Doc, you always start these off. So let's start it off with the first one.
All right.
Which was making waves like a day ago from today that we're recording. We're recording before Christmas, hence my beautiful background of Christmas gifts. So I'm sorry for that. Yes. But anyway, we're here in the future with you guys. What's up?
All right. So first off, health officials say Louisiana's patient is... Here we go again. Do that. So read the script. All right. Health officials say Louisiana patient is first severe bird flu case in the U.S.,
Woo! Let's start this year wonderfully.
Yeah, which is like a great recap because we've been following this whole entire thing
for
a really long time.
And how many times did we mention it in all the recaps that we keep like touching upon it?
But nothing is severe and nothing has been posed a health risk to us.
And then now it's like...
And then now, here we go, first severe case, okay? And unfortunately, it's from a man in Louisiana.
Yep.
So this is by Mike Stobe and Jonelle Alicia? This was published on December 18th, 2024. Health officials have reported the first severe case of bird flu in the United States. A person in Louisiana contracted the virus after contact with sick and dead birds in their backyard flocks. This marks the first human case linked to exposure to backyard flock. So previously, human cases in the U.S. were mild and primarily involved in farm workers exposed to infected poultry. So this year, over 60 bird flu infections have been reported nationwide, with more than half in California. The Centers of Disease Control, or the CDC, confirmed the Louisiana infection on Friday and announced it on Wednesday. The Louisiana patient was hospitalized due to flu symptoms. In contrast, a previous case in Missouri involved a hospitalization for reasons beyond just bird flu infection. Health officials emphasize that bird flu remains primarily an animal health issue, with the risk to the general public being considerably lower. There is no evidence of person-to-person transmission. Bird flu, or avian influenza, as others may call it, is a viral infection that spreads among birds and can, in rare cases, infect humans who have close contact with infected birds. So symptoms in humans can range from mild to severe. can include fever, cough, shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. Health authorities continue to monitor the situation closely to prevent further spread. So if y'all have one of those like chicken coops,
careful.
Or something like that. Yeah, just be careful.
Yeah, just be careful with that. I mean, you never know.
Can you imagine? I'd be so paranoid if I had like a chicken coop. I'd be like, that one over there is acting a little weird.
I think at that point, I'd be like, Griselda, why Griselda? Oh, wicked. Griselda, Betty Lou, Mary Lou, Mary Beth, the time has come.
Yeah.
We're all going to reach that road of rotisserie chicken now.
Yeah, gross. I wouldn't even eat it.
What? No, I mean, before they get sick.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm like, okay. The time
I thought you were saying the infected chicken.
Oh, no. Before they get infected.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, we're going to
have
a lot of chicken in the coming days. And I thank you all for your sacrifice.
So much protein.
Yeah. So that would be my take on it. I hate that. Because the problem is that then I can't have chickens for that reason. Because then like some shit like this would happen. Or we want rotisserie chicken. And I'm like, don't touch Mary Beth. She's my main bitch. And then it's like, oh, what about Mary Lou? Don't. Mary Lou's a pivotal point in this community right now. I wouldn't be able to do anything but collect her eggs.
There's a Facebook group that I'm in, and there's this mom that bought her kids. I think that was the story. She bought her kids, or they got some little chickens, like little chicks in a party. Mm-hmm. So they brought the chicks home.
Yeah.
And at first she was like, kind of like, okay, well, I just got three new chicks and they're just shitting all over the house or whatever. So it started becoming that she would post updates and it got to a point where everyone was involved in this chicken saga.
That's amazing.
And it was so good. She would just write diaries of her story with the chicken, and they ended up growing up. They ended up becoming part of the family.
I fucking love it.
Yeah. And it all started with like some little chicks that she wanted to just get rid of. Yeah.
I love it. You see, that would be me.
They become part of the family.
That would be me. I wouldn't be able to do anything with them. But keep them as pets. And then I have like 20 of them and it's like, shit.
I had a pet chicken once.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know. Something happened to it. I don't know if she poisoned. I don't know.
Oh, she died? Or
yeah, she died.
Oh, okay. I thought they were like, nope, we're going to eat her.
No, she died. No.
Because at least that's what I would do. Like, it's time.
Well, when I went to Cuba one time.
Oh, well, that.
So my aunt was like, hey, what do you want to have for dinner? Which for me is like, wow, I should be thankful.
Of course.
Most people don't have anything to eat over there.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm like, I don't know, chicken soup or something. And she was like, perfect. I'm going to make a chicken soup. And then it took her a while to make a chicken soup. And I did not connect the dots that she actually went to go kill the chicken. I hope we don't get flagged by like PETA for this, but she killed the chicken.
It's how people do it in other countries.
I mean, she killed the chicken. She did the whole entire thing with the chicken. It was great chicken soup. But
free range organic.
Yeah, for sure. I was so thankful. I would just ask myself, how did she catch that chicken?
Are you okay?
No.
Okay, but forget.
No. Yeah.
It's the only reason why I told you, because I'm like, I don't know if she's on call.
No, I'm not on call. But yeah, it was kind of crazy, and I really loved that chicken soup. But I'll never forget that. I'll never forget how oblivious I was to the fact that she most likely needed to chase down a chicken for me.
Well, it's like coming from the
U.S. I can imagine my aunt, like, you know, just outwardly being like, oh, okay, yeah, great choice. Yes, and in her mind, she's like, God damn this girl. Now I have to go chase down a fucking chicken so I can make her some stock.
You're like, chicken soup?
Yeah. You know, and I'm just like, oh, no, nothing crazy, chicken soup. Okay.
Meanwhile, she's just back there like wrangling it up and like whatever. Oh,
I wish she would have told me, you know, like, all right, well, you need to go catch that chicken.
It'd be like, actually, no.
I would be afraid the chickens would be chasing me. For sure. Have you ever seen those videos of the kids like where they get chased by chickens?
Yes, that would be me.
100%.
I got attacked by a goose.
So. Yeah, those ducks. Those ducks are crazy.
They're crazy. I will never forget. Every time now I see a white goose, I'm like,
yeah, just stay away.
Fucker. Fucker. Anyway. All right, so next one. Is it true that you could see how well you're aging by trying to stand up on one leg? By Becky Upham, published on October 24th, 2024. Wow. So many 24s. Anyway, I swear, I've only taken like two sips maybe. So this is just me naturally. Anyway, so a recent study from the Mayo Clinic suggests that the ability to stand on one leg may be a significant indicator of healthy aging. Researchers found that balance, particularly the duration one can stand on the non-dominant leg, declines with age and serves as a more telling measure of aging than changes in strength or gait. Good balance is essential for maintaining independence and well-being in older adults, as it requires integration of vision, the vestibular system, and the somatosensory system. So it's all systems in your brain to keep you like not tripping, like me tripping on my words.
Vestibular is basically that part of the brain that really helps with balance and all of that. Mm-hmm. And then somatosensory is basically, somato means more muscular and sensory, so your nerves, so that connection between your muscles and nerves. That's that system when we talk about a somatosensory system. That's just a little bit better.
And that's why she went to medical school, and that's why she's a doctor.
I don't want people to be like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, so you don't trip. Like, I trip over my words every day.
So we want to work. We want to exercise that part of the brain that's going to focus more on that, like, internal core balance in order for our muscles and nerves to maintain that connection, of a healthy connection.
Exactly. So then the study says that to improve balance, experts recommend practicing standing on one leg daily to maintain the position for at least 30 seconds, ensuring a chair or wall is nearby, obviously, for support. Like, just don't do this willy-nilly. Like, I'm going to try doing it right now. Regular balance training can enhance stability and reduce the risk of falls, contributing to healthier gait aging.
This is why it's very recommended for the older generation to do the... Oh my God, what is that called? It's not Taekwondo. It's the one that's slower.
Well, yoga. Isn't it Taekwondo? I think it's Taekwondo.
Is it Taekwondo?
I'm pretty sure you're right. Tai Chi.
Tai Chi? Yes, it is. The one that's like... Tai Chi. Yes, exactly. So that's the one. So Tai Chi is...
I don't mean to offend anyone.
Yeah, and I hope I'm saying it right, Tai Chi.
I think so, yeah.
But yes, that's very recommended for people to exercise when they're older because it really helps with all that.
I want to see now. I'm gonna try doing it, guys.
See. So I don't know what she's doing. What
my
doing?
Non-dominant leg, trying to like balance my non-dominant.
Okay.
Leg. So what? Like just this?
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Okay. All right. She's doing fine.
I think we're doing fine. Maybe they're going around.
And I'm on flip flops.
Yeah. Hey.
I think I'm good.
I think she's good.
I think I'm good. All right. So that, I guess.
We're also 35.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, I don't know.
I won't see this like in 30 years.
Oh man, that's gonna be a lot.
Happy to have this documented.
Exactly. You imagine we're doing a podcast so in 30 years from now.
Dude, that'd be crazy.
That'd be crazy goals. Anyway, that's all you, Duff.
All right. So next up, just one or two workouts a week can lower dementia risk by 13%. So I'm kind of piggybacking off.
I guess.
All right. Piggybacking. Whatever. Piggybacking off
from. Piggybacking from?
All right, never mind. I'm not even going to just cut that whole entire segment out. All right, so just one or two workouts a week can lower dementia risk by 13%. So kind of along the lines of what we were just discussing with Julie. This is by Lisa Rappaport, published on November 4th, 2024. So engaging in just one or two moderate to vigorous exercise sessions per week can significantly reduce the risk of developing mild dementia, according to a recent study published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine. The research analyzed data from approximately 10,000 individuals in Mexico City with an average age of 51 at the study's onset. Over a 16-year follow-up period, about 2,400 participants developed mild dementia. Those who exercised at least once or twice weekly were 13% less to develop the condition compared to the non-exercising group. So the study suggests that total duration of physical activity is more crucial than frequency or that kind of pattern. So achieving the recommended 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous exercise weekly, whether spread throughout the week or concentrated into 1 to 2 sessions, can provide substantial cognitive health benefits. So this is kind of just an example. It's better for you to do what, like maybe 45 minutes.
Right.
You know, 2 to 3 times a week instead of doing, I don't know,
like 20 minutes,
once or twice or something. It's The point is to reach those 150 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can do that twice a week. You can do that maybe once a week. I don't know.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's not the frequency that the study was suggesting. It's just the fact that you are consistently putting in 150 minutes per week into your exercise.
Which I guess that's where like the weekend and
moderate,
warriors.
Right. Moderate to vigorous exercise. Moderate to vigorous. This is not taking, you know, like, I don't know, like a walk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could do like your walk as long as you're hitting like that heart rate. Like,
no, yeah, you can go walking. I mean, I go walking all the time, right? Yeah. But it's not like a leisure walk.
Exactly. Not like just, oh, let's look at the flowers or whatever. Like actual, like working out. You need to get your heart rate up. Exactly.
That's what we mean by moderate to vigorous.
Exactly. Exactly.
I always say getting your heart rate up makes your heart happy.
You just have all these wonderful wisdom little tidbits today. I love it.
It's the new year.
Yeah.
We've been laughing since last week.
Seriously. On a roll.
We're on a roll.
Anyway, okay. So next one. Black plastic kitchen tools might expose you to toxic chemicals. Here's what to use instead. So I kept on seeing this everywhere.
I literally just gifted my mom some black utensils.
Are they silicone? No.
Yes.
Okay, then you're fine. It's as long as it's not the...
I'm like, did you hear me? I'm like, yes. Yes. Yes, they are, actually.
As long as it's silicone, you're good. Okay. And what they're... And we're going to get it. Spoiler alert. Go to silicone. Plastics. Avoid plastic. Like the hard black ones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like the one that when you leave on the stove, it's going to melt. Okay. Yeah.
That. Don't use that. Use the silicone grade ones that flop.
I need to change out my Afocera one.
Bro, those are like good. Yeah. I cannot get rid of that with my mom.
They're just so good. They just make those in a silicone version?
I know. It's just.
The shape. Everything.
And the rice comes out.
Yes.
Like, you know, you can't fuck with it. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So by Katie Akamoto, updated November 14, 2024. So recent studies have raised concerns about the safety of black plastic kitchen utensils. Research indicates that these utensils may contain harmful chemicals, including toxic flame retardants, which can leach into food as you're cooking. These flame retardants, originally used in electronic devices, can end up in kitchen tools through the recycling process.
Yeah.
So not great. When exposed to heat, such as during cooking, these chemicals can migrate from the utensils into your meals, potentially posing health risks. So to minimize the exposure of these toxins, experts recommend replacing black plastic utensils with safer alternatives made from materials such as stainless steel, wood, or silicone. These materials are less likely to contain harmful substances and are generally more durable and heat resistant. So as long as they could be whatever color, but if they're silicone, that's a better alternative.
Yeah, those are the ones that I have. But ever since we started this podcast, I have like slowly been tweaking out all plastic.
I'm telling you.
Not even plastics that I heat. Just regular storage plastic.
Yep.
And I don't want, trust us, we're not like ridiculous people either.
No.
I have stuff in plastic.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But the research that is coming out about microplastics.
It's bad, man.
It is terrifying.
I know.
It is terrifying.
I know.
And we live in this world where we don't have a lot of answers for a lot of things that happen to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the one that I mostly incline myself to think about is autism.
Yes.
You know, and that's just my opinion. I'm just being open on this
podcast. We're not doing a conspiracy theory or anything like that. There's
no research investigation on it. So please don't
This is spitballing at its best.
Yeah, this is exactly. It just concerns me because what if that has a link?
If it's something that innocuous.
Yeah.
Because you kind of think about it like when we did the Flint, Michigan episode, right?
Yes.
That it's like. It's water.
Yeah.
Something that everybody uses. You know, it's something that it's in everything.
Exactly.
But you're bathing in it, you're cooking in it, you're drinking it, it's water.
We had lead level testing back then.
Mm-hmm.
We are just starting
to do
plastics.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so.
I know. When I did that research, the way that plastic degrades, it's just like. It's insane what I saw.
Yeah.
And that's what like led me. That was years ago in Grenada. And that was just putting it in salt water.
Yeah.
Imagine cooking with it, like actually heating it, like all the things.
I used to heat.
I know.
Me too.
My mom.
I used to eat a lot of things that I shouldn't be heating.
How many times? And how many times did you see, at least in your parents' house, because you come from a Cuban background like me, the freaking plastic
the red Solo cups.
No, the that too, but like with the spaghetti sauce.
Yeah,
burnt into it, and our parents would not get rid of it until there was a hole.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm like, we're eating that.
Yeah.
You realize that, right?
They were microwaves, and
yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I know. You know, and then if you look at the trends, like, there's something there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Again, spitballing. I don't know. I just did research on the degradation of it in salt water. Okay. But still, that like led me to think about all these things. But yeah, man, it's pretty freaking crazy. Plastic. That's what I was going to say. There is a rumor that the man that invented plastic for like everyday use, so like all these things that we're talking about, he forbade having any sort of plastic in his home.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? So nothing in his house. Again, I need to do actual research on this. When we do our microplastics episode, which we will do it, I will look further into this. But there is a rumor, at least right now there's a rumor, I will clarify, that in his home, everything had to be glass or something like that. There could not be anything plastic. Yeah, he was a creator of plastic.
I can't wait to see.
Isn't that curious?
What that rumor, if that rumor holds true.
Yeah, I really want to. That I found that out when I was doing it, all of that stuff. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, so next up, Zepbound. Okay, that is our weight loss medication. Sheds more weight than Wegovy in a trial. Okay, so this is by Eli Lilly. And
the actual company that makes them.
Oh.
Yeah, this.
Yeah,
this
Eli Lilly is the pharmacy, right?
Well, the company, it's like Pfizer. It's the actual company
pharmaceutical company. Yeah.
That makes
sense. So Eli Lilly basically says that Zepbound sheds more weight than Wegovy. Here we go. There's about to be a whole entire
in a trial. Yeah. But I mean, I took it out from them specifically because they did provide the numerical values and like the actual study for great. It. So it's like
so. Okay. This is by Berkeley Lovelace Jr. on December 4th, 2024. So Eli Lilly's weight loss medication Zepbound, also known as tirzepatide,
because that also comes in Mounjaro.
Yes, which exactly. Mounjaro is the one that people usually know tirzepatide to be.
Exactly. That's why.
So Zepbound. So Mounjaro had certain indications. It was approved for certain indications.
Mostly diabetes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Zepbound was the tirzepatide that was approved for weight loss. This Zepbound has demonstrated superior efficacy compared to Novo Nordisk's Wegovy in recent clinical trials, which is not surprising to me because I know a lot of people that said Mounjaro worked
better than Ozempic.
Exactly.
Back then when it was the two diabetes drugs instead of now Wegovy and Zepbound, which are the two weight loss drugs.
Exactly. Yeah. So in a study involving 751 participants from the US and Puerto Rico, those administered Zepbound experienced an average weight reduction of approximately 20%, while the participants on Wegovy saw nearly 14% weight loss. Additionally, a higher proportion of individuals on Zepbound achieved at least a 25% reduction in body weight. Both medications are derivatives of diabetic treatments, Zepbound from Mounjaro and Wegovy from Ozempic. These findings are anticipated to enhance Zepbound's market share, which reported $1.3 billion in sales during the third quarter of 2024. Guys, that is just the third quarter of 2024. $1.3 billion.
God damn it. Why didn't I? These are the moments that I'm like, is there a time machine somewhere that I could like go and invest in Eli Lilly?
Yeah, I know.
God damn it.
Yeah. So following the study's release, Eli Lilly's stock value increased by nearly 2.4%.
No shit. And you're set for life.
Yeah, exactly.
If you would have invested in Eli Lilly by now. It's like Bitcoin.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing.
So Zepbound received approval from the U.S. and Drug Administration at the FDA in late 2023 for chronic weight management in adults and obesity or overweight conditions accompanied by weight-related health issues. The drug functions by mimicking two hormones, GLP-1 and GIP, which regulate appetite and food intake, thereby promoting weight loss.
And recently, I didn't include it in this recap because there's still like, you know, it's not like dead set certain like this one, but I've been seeing, remember when we did the PCOS episode?
Yes.
The FDA seemingly is approving Zepbound for PCOS. I'm like,
And
in the episode we said it. We will not be like shocked there it is.
Yes. You know? And it's perfect because with PCOS, again, you want to target that insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So this is a diabetic medication, right?
Yeah.
And you also have this recommendation of weight loss.
Exactly.
And there's many women out there with PCOS that have been able to really lose a lot of weight.
Yep.
These medications.
And even like it enhances their mood, it enhances their energy. Like there's some, because again, these are hormonal drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't like an aspirin or like an ibuprofen. These are actually working with your hormones, changing your hormones or adding on to like maybe something that you're lacking. There's a lot of literature out there for that, but it's different from like, and that's one of the things a lot of people fear it and they're like, oh, but you know, this is a new medication. I'm like, this is not your traditional, like what you're thinking of medication, like a pill. Yeah. This is like with your hormones, you know? So that's why women with PCOS, this may be a completely different game changer for them in so many fronts other than just weight loss, you know?
Absolutely.
So yeah, anyways. All right. So next one, another scary one. A mysterious illness in Congo has killed dozens of people, health authorities report. So by Aria Bendix and Denise Chow and Mariana Kopf.
Marina?
Yeah, I don't know why I said Mariana, like Mariana's Trench. I'm so sorry. Anyway, scratch that. I'm an idiot. And Akshay Sayal, MD, on December 4th, 2024. So a recent outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, has resulted in 143 deaths and 592 reported cases since November 2024, primarily affecting children under 14. The illness presents with symptoms such as fever, headache, cough, runny nose, and body aches. Health authorities have identified the cause as severe malaria, complicated by respiratory issues and exacerbated by malnutrition. The WHO, World Health Organization, has dispatched a team to the affected Panzi region to collect samples and provide medical assistance. Efforts are underway to distribute anti-malaria medications and health kits to the region to control the outbreak. Malaria transmitted by mosquito bites remains a significant health threat in that area, particularly among vulnerable populations, such as children, unfortunately.
Yeah. Really, really scary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Check out our mosquito-borne episode.
Yes. Illnesses. We have so many episodes.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up, the FDA may finally ban artificial red dye from beverages, candy, and other foods.
Thank God.
Wow. This is like years.
Why has it taken this long?
Seriously.
It's not needed. And I think like places like the UK, don't quote me, I need to verify this, but I think, and I'm pretty certain, like places like the UK, they have it banned.
Banned, yeah.
So it's like, why is it
our food? There's a lot of things. There are a lot of things that are banned in other places, but allowed here in the US. I don't understand. And there's a lot, you know, the world is very large. And
we're talking about like the UK, which is not very different from like us, you know, in levels of like first world countries and stuff like that. So that's what I'm talking about. That's why I bring it as an example. It's like, what? It's why? Weird, why? You know?
So this is by Caitlin Sullivan on December 7, 2024. So the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is considering a ban on red dye number 3, which is a synthetic food coloring used to impart bright cherry red hue to various products, including candies, baked goods, and snapped foods. This potential regulatory action arises from health concerns associated with dye, which has been linked to cancer in animal studies and behavioral issues in kids. So red dye number 3, also known as erythrocin, okay, which I'm not even going to get into the like the root words, but erythro means red. That's just interesting to me how it came about. Okay, sorry, that's just my brain. Red dye number 3, also known as erythrocin, has been prohibited in cosmetics and topical drugs since 1990 due to its carcinogenic properties.
But yeah, we can eat it.
Yeah, except we are ingesting it. Despite this, it remains prevalent in the food industry, incorporated into nearly 3,000 food products in the U.S.
Make that make sense.
Exactly. Now, the FDA's potential ban follows a petition from a health organization urging the agency to revoke the dye's approval for use in foods and medicines. Additionally, states like California have enacted legislation to prohibit certain additives, including red dye number 3, by 2027, reflecting a growing movement towards stricter regulation for synthetic food colorings. Now, consumer advocacy groups argue that the artificial food dyes serve primarily to enhance the visual appeal of products.
Of course.
Okay, great. You can find something else to do.
There is.
Yeah. So, potentially, this leads to, you know, misleading consumers about their quality and healthfulness.
Yeah.
Right? So they advocate for the use of natural color alternatives, which, although potentially are more costly and less vibrant, are considered safer for consumption. Has anyone ever cut up a beet?
That's it. A lot of it, like, at least the organic
versions. Stain your hands.
At least the organic versions is beet.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah. And that's why, because it's a little bit more expensive or whatever. But it's like, dude, it exists.
Yeah.
It's not like it doesn't exist. They have to create it. No, it's so annoying. And have you heard, you're a pediatrician, so I'm sure, like, I want to ask you if it's right that red dye number in this case three, or there's I think 40 as well, that it's tied to like hyperactivity in kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's at least the one when I heard
that. There's a lot of preservatives that show some links and things like that. Actually, it's not unheard of to have children. There are certain specialists that actually recommend a very specific diet for kids with ADHD, and I think it's rooted in this whole situation.
I mean, that makes sense, because that's what I had read about one of these red dyes. I don't know particularly exactly which,
like,
one.
Like, stay away from candies, processed foods, those things that tend to involve these kind of dyes.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Anyway, this is good news for me. Eating dark chocolate may help lower the risk of type 2 diabetes. I love dark chocolate.
Me too.
But I thought you didn't like chocolate.
I don't like chocolate, but if I do have chocolate, I do dark chocolate because it's the least that tastes like chocolate.
So. The most, because you have the most.
No, I like the cacao taste.
Uh-huh.
I just don't like the milk chocolate fudge taste.
Hate that.
Yeah, no, I like dark chocolate.
Okay, good. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I can have a dark
chocolate. Okay.
Well, again. If it's on the menu and there's something else, I'm not going to choose it. But if I only had to choose from different types of chocolates, dark chocolate always.
Yeah, exactly. Same. I fucking love dark chocolate. Anyway, so by Andrea Rice on December 4th, 2024. A recent observational study published in the BMJ suggests that consuming dark chocolate may reduce the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Researchers analyzed data from over 192,000 adults over 3 decades and found that participants who consumed 5 or more servings of dark chocolate per week had a 21% lower risk of developing type 2 diabetes compared to those who regularly consumed chocolate. So, like, you know, what we were talking about, like the milk chocolate, whatever. In contrast, milk chocolate consumption was associated with long-term weight gain, a known risk factor for type 2 diabetes. So the potential health benefits of dark chocolate are attributed to its high content of polyphenols, which are antioxidants that may help improve insulin sensitivity and reduce inflammation. However, experts caution that while these findings are promising, they are based on observational data and cannot establish a direct cause-effect relationship. Further research, particularly randomized controlled trials, is necessary to confirm these results. Health professionals recommend moderation when incorporating dark chocolate into one's diet, emphasizing that it should complement a balanced diet rich in whole foods and low processed sugars, and just processed foods, really, at this point. So maintaining a healthy lifestyle, including regular physical exercise, adequate sleep, stress management, remains crucial in reducing the risk of type 2 diabetes. But this is nice and this is fun.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Yeah. And again, it's like what the study explains, that this is just purely observation. Yeah. So it's like if you just took a group of people and observed them and you're like, that group did this and this group did not. Is there a direct link? We don't know. We would have to test that, but that is an observation.
It's kind of like the first step to
eating. Yeah, exactly. That's like every scientist. You just observe and see what happens.
Yeah, it's how you make your hypotheses.
Hypotheses, exactly.
Exactly. All right, this is all you. One's saucy.
Yes. So Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield reverses decision to put a time limit on anesthesia. This blew up, on social media. So much so, this was Dr. Glockenfalken, whatever his name is. I love him and I can never say his name.
Me neither.
I watch him all the time.
Yeah,
we think that too. Me being the fan that I am of his, I would know how to say his name.
Yeah.
But anyways, he did a skit.
Yeah.
And it blew up on the internet, which is usually how he does these advocacy skits. He usually does them on his TikTok and he posts them. It got so, it went so viral that they had him on and they interviewed him on a news station.
No way.
Yes. And then so now the news station is actually asking everyone to send him to basically get his platform and have everyone send him all their petition wild stories. And they're going to basically broadcast those stories.
Amazing. I love it.
Which his whole entire platform is about advocacy and using your voice. And he's amazing.
Yeah.
Just, I'm just like, wow, we need more people like him.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to blow smoke up his ass. I'm just saying he uses his platform like really, really well.
Yeah, he's a fellow physician doing
exactly really good stuff. Yeah. And a lot of advocacy. And I feel like there's not enough physicians like myself. Like I don't do enough advocacy, right?
You just don't have the time.
Yeah. And honestly, the knowledge is not, it's, I don't think it's very common because it's not something that we're taught.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah.
But anyways, so, okay, going back to this Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield situation. This happened
after the United Healthcare.
Yes, which everyone feels like there was, like, there's been no confirmed, like, statement saying, no, they reversed this because of that.
Yeah.
Like, what a coincidence that you shelved it after.
Dude, there's so many good memes on this.
Yes.
There's so many good memes on this. There's, like...
Which I think is ridiculous that a insurance company is going to put a decision to limit the time that you have an anesthesia. So, for example, let me just break it down for everyone.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
go
yeah.
in with a diagnosis. I don't know. We're going to say...
You do that. I'm going to pour us because we need some more after this talk.
Yes. We're going to say, let's just say, some bullshit. I don't know.
Bullshit.
An appendectomy. You're going to remove your appendix, okay? The insurance is basically going to tell the patient and the physician, right?
Which is who, again, making these decisions? Isn't they're not even doctors.
No, they're not doctors.
But okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, but okay.
They are not doctors. So they will basically say, okay, well, an appendectomy should take you no longer than this. Okay, yeah, in a perfect world, which most of the time that is what happens, but that is not the real world, right? There are plenty of times where a 1 hour surgery can easily turn into 4 hours.
How could you possibly control that or know that?
No, we cannot know that. We do not know that, and we cannot control that, right? So the insurance is basically telling us how long we have.
It's like you're opening up Pandora's box into hurrying up these surgeons.
Anesthesia is one of the most prime, like, basis of medications, right? And now you are going to limit it on a person that is having surgery. Like, they're already going under the knife. How can you do that? It's just, I don't even know how morally they could do that.
How did you even think that that was a good idea? That was going to
be okay.
Like, yeah. I don't understand. When I saw first before the CEO's, you know, because YouTube doesn't like certain words, but whatever. Before the United Healthcare CEO's unaliving, I saw that they were, that this came out and everybody blew it up because everybody's like, how does this make sense? How could you even possibly think that this could happen?
Yeah.
You know, because then you're putting, then malpractice because you're hurrying up the surgeons because they're stressed.
Exactly.
You know,
it really leads to just
so many things could go wrong.
Everything in that whole entire situation is bad.
And then why are you trying to save more money?
Yes.
You're milking the shit out of you.
Not only that, but I can see how on the reverse, how the patient, that could almost turn the patient against the surgeon.
Yes.
Saying, well, why do you need to take longer? You know what I mean?
There's
so many ways that could
horrible. Just
lead to mistrust and misinterpretation of things. And at the end of the day, listen, no surgeon is going to want to keep anyone under anesthesia longer than the necessary time.
That's the point. And that's why it's like, where did this come from?
So if it is necessary, then yeah, you need to stay under anesthesia because one wrong move.
Fucked.
And you're exactly. So
I don't get it. I don't get how this was even a thought.
Yeah,
like how they even thought that this was possible to implement.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. All right. So
just to turn it around like real quick, instead of going into this news like so like pissed off as we are right now.
Yeah.
Dude, the memes. They're like,
oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, McDonald's CEO like freaked out. And they're like, Snack Wrap's coming back in 2025 and so is the McRib. It's like so true.
I never think like, I know.
And then the other memes on like TikTok and all this and like reels, they're like Arizona Iced Tea and Costco that they've never raised their prices on like these pivotal things. They're like just like eating popcorn. They're like, I don't know why everybody's freaking out. Are you freaking out? Are you okay, dude? And then they're like talking to each other. It's like, yeah, I don't understand. People love us. And they're like, yeah, well, people love us. So we have nothing to worry about. And everybody's like, these are the CEOs we love.
Right, exactly. And they're just chilling, eating popcorn.
Yeah. And then the thing, a really cool thing.
Costco did try to raise the prices once, remember?
Hold. I'm going to tell you the story on that. Yeah. So Costco, like the main CEO, like he gave like whatever, like passed hands, right? So then, but it was within the family.
Yeah.
And then he, the older gentleman, he's like, to the new guy, he's like, whatever, I don't care what you do, you do not raise the prices on the hot dog.
On the hot dog, yeah, exactly.
You do not do that. He's like, well, we're bleeding money by doing that, whatever. He's like, figure it out.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not doing that. Yeah. That's not happening. What did they do? They opened up a whole ass factory and they're now producing their own freaking hot dogs. And now they're making money out of something already so freaking cheap. Yeah. And that's how he's like, figure it out instead of fucking over our like our consumer base. Exactly.
Consumers.
And it's like, and now they're making money.
Like seriously, let's be real. Yeah. How many people go to Costco, shop and everything, and then sit down, have a pizza or a hot dog? I used to do it when we were little.
100%.
Yeah.
One of those huge pizza slices. I still have like vivid memory of it.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the innovation that we're missing.
Yeah.
Figure it out instead of going the easy way route.
Yep.
Of what these companies are doing, which is just hacking up the prices and all this, but figure it out. I'm sure you can figure it out.
Yep.
You know? Anyway, so let's get into this. So that's you.
This article is by Debna Bose, and this was published on December 5th, 2024. Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the largest health insurers, right, has reversed its decision to implement a policy that would have tied anesthesia payments to duration of the procedure. The proposed policy, which was set to take effect February in states including New York, Connecticut, and Missouri, faced significant backlash from medical professionals and the public. Critics, including the American Society for Anesthesiologists, argued that such a policy could compromise patient care by pressuring anesthesiologists to adhere to arbitrary time limits, potentially affecting the quality of care during surgeries. In response to that widespread outcry, Anthem stated that the reversal was due to significant widespread misinformation, BS.
Yeah.
What misinformation? You set out that policy.
Yeah.
So there's no misinterpretation.
Who's going to make this up?
How is it that you can say that this whole entire population of people that said that they had this outcry, all of them were misinformed?
Gaslighting 101.
All of them.
Literally.
Not you. Not your policy.
Literally.
But the rest.
Gaslighting 101.
Someone please.
You misheard.
I'm going to wait. I'll wait for an explanation. So they said that it was a widespread misinformation about that policy and then clarified that it never intended to deny payments for medically necessary anesthesia services. Newsflash, okay, Anthem, okay. It is only medically necessary. We do not put people for funsies under anesthesia.
Okay? Yeah, yeah.
Where did they think? I don't know. Maybe they were trying to say like aesthetic procedures or like
no,
or plastic surgery. But the thing is that you don't cover that.
That's it.
So you don't cover that.
As it is, you don't cover that.
Exactly. So what is it exactly that you felt that our misinterpretation, that we were going to leave people under anesthesia for longer than... No, man. If you didn't realize, if you look at the OR board, okay, there's like 60 surgeries that people need to get to. So, no, Anthem, we're not just casually laying people around, leaving them under anesthesia just because, you know, we get kicks and, you know, it's for shits and giggles so that we can charge you more. Like, no, sorry. It's unbelievable.
The layers of...
And like... let's just dive into a little bit of a conspiracy here, okay? Which I don't believe. I truly don't believe. Uh-huh. But, you know, whatever. There's a lot of weird shit that we see in this world.
Hell yeah, yeah.
There's a person out there that maybe likes to leave their patients under anesthesia.
There might be. Oh, look, there's serial killers out there, yeah, and whatever, exactly, right? So, fine.
We don't know, right?
Yeah, but whatever.
But at the end of the day,
but you're gonna base
that is
it
not
off
the
of
majority.
That.
Exactly. That is not the majority of the people. And one should not fuck it up for the other.
You're basing it off of, like, the one fucking person, like the 0.0001%, yeah, or some shit?
Exactly.
No. No, no, that's just gaslighting 101, in my opinion.
So, but that was, I think, in this whole entire episode, I think that was probably one of the biggest ones that blew up. And I just want to say, because I'm trying to reiterate what Dr. Malcolm Falcon.
Dr. G.
Dr. G, okay? He's very famous. You guys know who he is.
Yeah, 100%.
If you have any crazy stories about insurance claims and not being approved or something like that, send it to him. Because he is basically using his platform to do that. And I think all physicians should do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. If people want to send it to our podcast or repost.
How about, 100%, I will do that. But 2025, New Year's resolution, you work on your IG.
Yeah, I need to work on my IG. I know.
That would seriously get us a lot.
Yes, 2025
you're gonna see Evie on her socials.
Yeah, I know.
Instead of
what a surprise. It's like an animal, like a rare animal sighting. New year, new me. Okay.
Stay tuned for part two coming up next week.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.